Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name. We thank you for the access to the throne that you purchased with your flesh, Lord Jesus, paying the price of our sins that we could come directly to you. And lead us this morning as we pray and guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be in the book of Genesis again, and we're just kind of moving through the Bible, and we're going to be in chapter 11, the very last part, and then the very first part, verse 1 of chapter 12, that is where Abram was called as an idol worshiper in Chaldea out of there, and why the Lord chose him, only he knows, and why through him would come eventually the Messiah. But I just wanted to look at that call just a little bit and calling to a place where he didn't know where he was going. And so I thought we would sing this hymn. I like the words of it. I don't think I've ever sung it, but I like the words of it. Number 72, I'll go where you want me to go. And the first verse reads, it may not be on mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. Does that sound like where you are these days? Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to be on the mountaintop, Lord. I'd like to be on the battlefront. But it may not be that's where the Lord has need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. So, isn't that a beautiful words there? So, let's sing along with this recording, if you will. There's a little bit of an interlude to begin, and there's a little bit of gap here and there with some music, but I think we can get it all right. Okay, I'll go where you want me to go. Number 72.
Thank you.
So if God had called you as he called Abraham, would you have gone or would you have just stayed? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? Well, we read in verse 31 of Genesis 11, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans. Stephen tells us in the 7th chapter of Acts, verse 2, and he said, brethren and fathers, listen, Stephen speaking, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And in Hebrews 11, in the faith chapter, we read, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. So this is just a beautiful account in the scriptures that we have, and next week we'll get on into the promise that he made to Abraham, or to Abram at that point. He didn't have the ha in him yet, he didn't have the breath in him yet, but he was still Abram. And he was a worshiping idol worshiper in Chaldean, and he certainly wasn't a Jew. There was no Jews at that point, but he became the father of the Jewish nation because God was going to pick a nation to work through to show what a nation could be that was governed and guided by God, Israel. So the issue before us this morning is God calling Abraham, and we see that he was partially obedient. He was supposed to leave his family. He was supposed to leave his house. And he didn't leave all of his family, did he? His father went with him and part of the family, and they went halfway. They went to Haran, and they stayed there for a number of years until Pops finally died, and then Abram moved on into the promised land where he was told to go. And he didn't leave his whole family behind. Lot went with him, and you know, Lot ended up being kind of a source of problems, didn't he? So anytime that you compromise with just a little bit with the Lord, there's a price to pay because you're always going to settle for something less than what God had for you. But we are also very impressed with Abram that he would be obedient. And you know, I remember Pastor Chuck telling this story about Abram, and he would tell his friends that, well, I'm going to leave. And they would say, where are you going? And he said, I don't know. Well, how long are you going to be there? I don't know. Well, what are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. And they would shake their head and walk off. You know, what kind of a plan is this? Going to a place where you don't know where it is, how long are you going to be there, and you don't know what you're going to do when you get there? And this past week in the study of 1 Corinthians, we had the term under rower, which is the slave, but it's even a lower than, it's the lowest of the slave, the under rower. And so Apostle Paul had said, I'm an under rower of Jesus Christ. And we were looking at the under rowers, and what is the purpose of an under rower? Is to row and to keep the cadence, to be totally obedient. They're down in the bowels of the ship. They have no idea where they're going. They have no idea what the purpose of anything is. They're just to be obedient to the call, obedient to the cadence. And that's what we're to be, aren't we? And how often, when the Lord does get our attention, we start wanting to ask all kinds of questions, Lord. Why? What are you going to do? I'm not qualified. Or what, blah, blah, blah. Instead of just being obedient, right? So we need to be obedient to the Word of God, don't we? We need to be obedient to His call. And so we see here that I think we're all living in one of three places. We're either living in Ur, I'm talking about the Christian life now. We live in Ur until we're saved, right? That's living in the world without God. That's where Abram was when he got called. And then he kind of goes to the halfway house at Haran, and he stays there for a time. He's got an outward appearance of being obedient. He's got an outward appearance of being religious. But inward, there's no full commitment yet. You're only halfway there, not fully there. And then we see Canaan, the land of promise and blessing. and the place of the Spirit's fullness. And we can think of this as our Christian life here on earth. And so Abram goes through these stages, but he was obedient. And when Terah, his father, was 205 years old and he died in Haran, now the Lord said again to Abram, get out of your country. So get out of your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. And that is really exactly the call you and I have. Every Christian has that call, don't we? We need to leave our country, the country being that country with traditions and with ways of doing things and focusing on the worldly things. I'm not talking necessarily about the USA. I'm talking about the country we all live in before we're really totally committed to God. We're living in the world, aren't we? We're living in the world. So we need to leave the world in a sense in that regard. And then we need to go into that place of obedience, and maybe there's some sanctification going on there, and maybe we're not quite totally committed to the Lord yet. And you and I both know how we have lapses of faith at times, but still, if we have that obedience there, we still eventually get there. And so Abram eventually got there, and he didn't leave his family because he took Lot with him, and the Lot situation. There's a great examples in there, but Lot was kind of a thorn in the flesh the whole time, really, because he was, pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's not a good place to pitch your tent. But it looked good for business. And so I love that choice, though. We'll get to that choice later, too, where Abraham leaves the choice into God's hands. And so Lot, you go where you want, I'll go. And so he took the lush grass, and Abraham had nothing but rocks to look at. Not very good for sheep, right? But God blessed Abram greatly, and Lot not so much, because he ended up, what did that decision cost him? It cost him everything, didn't it? Family, all except two daughters, cost him all of his holdings and property and so forth. So are you obedient to the Lord's call? And have you separated from your country to that extent? Have you separated from your family to that extent? And again, this does not mean that you desert your family, but it does mean that if the family has godless traditions, or if the family has traditions and so forth where they're against the Word of God, we got to leave that, don't we? We got to leave that tradition and so forth and adhere to the Word of God. And then to the land that I show you, you're all here, you wouldn't know what that's all about. And we need to pray for those who have not yet made that decision, and need to pray for the walk of those who have made that decision. And there are those today who are saved, but we need to pray for them because they're not in a position to pray today, either through tremendous pain in their bodies, possibly, or maybe they're in sin. And maybe they're in sin to the point of they don't want to pray, or if they did pray, and their prayers weren't, repentant prayers. Their prayers wouldn't really be heard. So we need to pray for them. And then we certainly need to pray for our nation and really all the nations of the world. We've all seen continuing indication of total rebellion, particularly at the college level. And as that spreads out, it always does start there, doesn't it? And then it spreads out from there because these kids have been taught by all this liberal thinking, and there's no God there, right? And there's no basis, or there's no foundation in the students more and more, it would seem. And so they're coming out wanting to burn and kill and destroy and all that. And that pours on over then to the political scene, doesn't it? And so we have the political scene now. If you don't get your way, you're just going to burn, destroy, kill. I mean, that's the way it always is, isn't it? And of course, we had the shooting this week of, it was really a blessing by the Lord in a sense, in that all that shooting occurred and nobody was killed. Because I mean, that guy had, if he wouldn't have had the security there, and the security was only there because of Scalise's position. He had his own security with him. Police got there in 3 minutes, but in 3 minutes, you can kill a lot of people with a high-powered rifle. So the Lord, I think, was gracious in giving us another wake-up call. And, of course, the response was really great that day. But one day later, there's already people coming back into the old thing. The new who is it that's got this assassination play going on in New York? They didn't stop that. In fact, last night, it got interrupted by a protester significantly. But, I mean, to have an assassination of our president as as an ongoing play with all this backdrop. I mean, it just shows you the depravity of it, doesn't it? It really is. So we need to pray. We need to pray for Christopher Wray. He's the appointee for the FBI, and of course, he's hated because he's a Christian. And you might have mentioned that last week, that Bernie Sanders tore into him. He wasn't fit to be in the government. He wasn't fit to be in the FBI. He had such a narrow point of view, and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, we just need to pray. And then the young man from North Korea, you know, pray for his family and whatever the Lord might do there, we don't know. But I'm just wondering if the Lord will do a total miracle, because the doctors have said there's no brain tissue left and hopeless. But it's not hopeless for the Lord. But whatever the Lord has in store there, we want to pray for that. And then whatever else you're led to pray for, we have plenty to pray for, don't we? Well, Father, we thank you for Abram's obedience. We thank you for your magnificent plan of reconciliation, of reconciling us fallen creatures, fallen men, fallen women, back to you. And that was through the work of you, Lord Jesus, the price you paid. And as we see the messianic line, and we see really the first three chapters there, I think, in Genesis of sin and death, and after the wonderful creation. And then after that, everything is really geared toward redemption. And then we have come all full circle now. Not only has the Messiah come and died and resurrected and ascended, and we have the whole counsel of God, and you've blessed us so mightily. And here we are with the opportunity to approach you directly in prayer. So lead us now by your Spirit in these few minutes we have together. And may we pray in one accord as we're led by you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Amen.